Hello and welcome to The Brand Called You. This is a podcast that speaks to some of the most fascinating people from around the world who have stories to tell and wisdom to share. I'm Lisa Lipkin, I'm your host. And if you're new to this channel, click the bell icon below and subscribe. So I have to tell you, I grew up in a sleepy suburb of New York City called Clifton, New Jersey, about 12 miles outside the city. And I don't have many memories of my childhood in the 60s, but one of them sticks in my mind more than any other. I remember every Thursday, the doorbell ringing, and three suburban ladies, very well-dressed, would walk in the door, and for the rest of the day, they and my mother would be playing bridge in the corner of the room. There was always a cloud of cigarette smoke, because in those days, everybody smoked, and they'd always have peanuts by their side, but they were passionate about it. My mother was obsessed with bridge. In fact, she's in her 90s, and she still is, and she desperately wanted me and my brother to get into it. I didn't have the head for it. I was kind of an artistic type who loved word games, Scrabble and so forth. My brother, on the other hand, loved it. And he continues to play today. Now, my brother is a PhD in physics and he's a finance theoretician. And he does very well playing at competitions all over the country. But even he admits that he cannot hold a candle up to our next guest, Julien Rataru. Otherwise known as Max, is a professional bridge player. And it's not easy to be a professional bridge player, let me tell you. You have to be the top of your game. So he's won two national titles here. And for the first time, he was in a trial to represent the USA in the World Championships. But even as a kid, he was winning all sorts of competitions for the Romanian junior team, representing his country like 17 times in various events. And I'm very, very curious to learn about the secret life of a professional bridge player. So welcome, Max.
Hi, Lisa. Thanks for inviting me. And these are nice words.
but it's true, isn't it, that it's such a difficult, complex game. I mean, I've heard poker players say that poker is child's play compared to being a good bridge player. And I think to really individuate and get to that top level where you get sponsors to hire you, you have to be a little bit better than the rest, no?
That's correct in a way. It happened that I'm a poker player as well. So I think I'm a decent poker player. So I can see both of them. Like I can compare both of them. So I think bridge can be a very easy game to learn. And to play with your friends and to use your brain in a useful way. And also you can make a career playing bridge, which is not so easy, as you said, and your brother can prove it. But perhaps it's one of the most challenging game. We like to call it a mind sport game. Okay, so I encourage everyone to start playing bridge with their friends and definitely would help their brain to focus to keep you awake for a while.
So let me ask you about that to start with. My brother claims that the reason you're probably so much better than the rest of them is that if you get the brain working from an early age, you get the certain things firing in the brain, certain pathways that you can't get as a later adult. I mean, you started pretty early, right?
I actually don't agree. I think you can start playing bridge at any age, which is amazing, right? You can start. Don't forget the average age of bridge players in the United States is 73.
Oh,
so yes. So I think you can start anytime. Like when you are young, you can start when you are 60s, and you can be a decent player. I mean, maybe not a top player if you start very late, but you still can do well. It's true that they say you need to play bridge for like a year or two to realize how bad you are at this game. Because it's don't forget, it covers so many possibilities that it's very hard to solve all of them, okay? So you always gonna be in trouble at one point. But that's the beauty of the game, right?
Well, when you say it covers so many possibilities, for those people that don't play bridge and are listening, so it's a game you play with a partner. So the
good part is you play with a partner, okay? It's a social game, right? You play with people against people, right? You are not a computer geek playing against the computer, right? And at every couple of minutes, you face a new case, okay? It's a new world, new game, new combination, and you have to solve it, okay? So it's a strategy game. It's a people who like to solve problems, and bridge is the best.
So when you say solving problems, how much of it is to do with reading the brain, sort of intuitively reading what's happening with your partner? How much of it is mathematical? How much of it is experience? How much of it is knowing your own partner?
Yes, I would say it's like mostly based on statistics and math, right? It's like, you know, you are in that scenario, and it's very likely one of the card to be in that hand instead of the other hand. Okay, so it's and definitely the experience helps, and the agreements you have with your partner, and and your table presence is also a good factor. But I think it's the basic itself is not so easy. That's why people don't, it's not so easy to learn bridge, right? It's not like chess, moving two pawns or the queen from left to right, okay? It takes a little bit to but once you get, you learn, I would say like 20 minutes an hour, you get caught. Like all my friends, they got caught like right away, and they are caught forever.
you got caught in college, right? I'm not mistaken.
Yes, in the first year of college, somebody like taught me for like, I swear to God, for like 30 minutes. I went to my campus. I called all my friends, and for 2 days we didn't leave the room. So we didn't sleep, we didn't do anything, we just played bridge. But that bridge I knew, in like based on 30 minutes learning. So imagine.
But you clearly had a brain for it, because I found, like, I did algebra very complex and difficult for my creative type of brain. I don't have that kind of brain.
Yeah, this is the part where bridge is so close to poker. At one point, you have to put yourself in your partner's shoes and your opponent's shoes, okay? So you have to think what he thinks or they think about that situation. It's not all about what you have in your hand, okay? Definitely that is the most important part, but that's why bridge is the only game the computer couldn't beat, because it's, you also can bluff, for instance, but you are going to bluff your partner as well. So you can control it. It's a game with sort of information and also unknown information. And yeah, the human being are able to handle better
But it's interesting because before you went in to become a professional bridge player, you were in artificial intelligence, right? And
interesting. That's what I did in school. I never practiced, but I understand how it works. Okay, it's very hard to train a computer. I mean, the human beings are able to find patterns, more patterns than a computer itself. Okay, so we are able to change the gears. We are able to deceive the computer, right? The computer doesn't know to do it by itself.
So I think what you're saying is the missing element in a computer that a human being has is intuition, right?
Correct. Yes.
And you always have a heightened kind of witchy sense of intuition? Were you always sensitive?
I mean, you are going to get used to with the experience and everything. Believe me, there are players better than me, and the difference at the top level is not so big. Okay, your brother is there, so believe me, he's a nice guy, talking very nicely about myself, but about me. But he's very good player. So the difference between us is just matter of how long the partnership is. If you really have a partnership, because don't forget, it's a partnership game. Okay.
Yeah.
That's why it's good for people. It helps you understanding the other. So for people, yeah, looking for a partner in life, bridge is the best way.
Interesting. Bridge therapy. Yeah. So let me ask you, you've had a longstanding partner, Raju Nistor. How did you find him? And is it sort of like a marriage in a way?
Sort of. That's a good way to put it.
How do you work together? How do you improve your game? Or do you regularly?
We knew each other from Romania. Okay, so it's a small community over there. We even in Europe, and I mean, we know each other. It's a small world, and I met him when he was very young. He came with his father, and I remember playing against him, and he started yelling at his father. I was like, "Dad, why did you do that? When I told you to do that?" I was like, "Was this small kid?" I was like, "Dude, that's cool." And I would say after like 10 years, he asked me to play together a tournament here in the United States. It was the first time when we played actually as partners. And I don't know how it happens. The stars align for us, and we won the event. And it was literally the first event we played together. And we didn't even have so many agreements because we didn't have time to practice. So, I mean, we spoke, we went over our agreements, little agreements we had. So we started actually the real partnership after this event.
But give me some idea of how you I've heard about bridge partnerships, which they have one or two lucky, you know, successes, but then there has to be more to sustain a partnership, right? I think.
Okay, so it's first of all, you have to be on the same page as a style, okay? Bridge is it's like poker, like I said before. Some people are more aggressive. Some people play more safe. You have to define yourself and to see where you what you like, what you, and also to talk with your partner or to find the right partner who is in the same area, okay, in the same boat with you. Because if your partner is super aggressive and it annoys you, you might need to change your partner.
And how did you come to the, do you think the fact that you're both from the same culture, Romanian, is it?
That helped, but definitely the European style is a little bit different than the American one. but it's not such a big difference. I bet I could have found a partner here in the United States, but the fact that he's Romanian helped a lot, yeah.
You know, I have a crazy question, but I have a few other friends who are Romanian and describe to me, they were old enough to feel the chaos of communism falling. And I know you were about 15 when it fell. Correct. And I just wonder, do you think that transition and the chaos of it in some way affected you? And in any way, did it inform your interests in bridge or your, I don't know. I'm just curious if there's any kind of...
It's actually interesting. So during the communists, bridge was banned in Romania because Ceausescu thought, the security, the police came at the bridge tournament and it stopped the tournament, the biggest tournament in Romania. It stopped the tournament and they started interrogating every single person over there because...
What?
Yeah, because they thought it's very dangerous for smart people to meet together. And yeah, they were afraid something bad can happen. So they banned the game. I mean, the game went underground after that for a while. And that was kind of cool when I heard about it. I was like, yeah, I'm playing this game who was like underground for a while. Yeah. But then, unfortunately, Romania is a country who didn't handle very well the transition period after the 89, after the communists. And bridge was something to escape. So I was, I couldn't find myself in other place. So bridge was the right one for me. And I found the right people, their friends forever. I think.
What do you mean escape? You mean escape into your mind? I mean, because
like usually people, like they either go deep with their career or with the sport, or like bridge was my thing. Okay. I had a decent life. I worked 9 to 5, but I was very unhappy. I was just thinking about bridge all day long. And for 30 years, this was my dream, right? To turn my passion into my career. Okay. Well, so I'm happy.
But so let me ask you that because, please forgive the naivete of my question, but I understand that only a relatively small percentage of people can make a decent enough living to do it full time. So you ended up, is that the reason you moved to America? Because you felt that you could?
That's correct, yes. Because in Europe it's very hard. The bridge environment is not so big like here, right? There are not so many people willing to pay players or to play with or in their team. So the United States was the right place for me. And also I like the American culture. I'm one of those stupid people who think the American culture is a cool one.
First of all, I call my brother a bridge gigolo because he has a few old ladies that he plays with professionally. But tell me what it's like to, like, how do you...
For me, this was the hardest part, okay? Because I came as a player. I was never a teacher. And I was very competitive. And I'm still very competitive. But back then, I was just like a pit bull. I was, like, blaming my partner. Like, why did you do that? Why? And now... Coming here, I realized like people are not like this. They want to play bridge for fun, or they don't play every day like playing the final of the world championship. They want to enjoy their time at the club, and I had to readjust myself in a way to be more like to have more to be more, I don't know, patient. Well, yes, or, understandable with yes.
Or, well, or to speak in American terms, optimistic.
Correct. Yeah.
But
my English language, you know, is not my.
Do you also have like high? I mean, I don't. You don't need to tell me the details, but do you have a few high paying sponsors that enable you to also play on teams and get a decent living? Or
yes, I was very happy with that, and I was very lucky in a way. I didn't need to struggle too much. Mm-hmm. In fact, people to pay me, and I'm very blessed and lucky to find good people. They are like my friends now, all of them, and I think all the British players are smart people, and that's what I like to do, to deal with smart people. And yeah,
and so they will pay you to play with them at these big national events. Is that the idea?
They pay me to play with them at the club, online, and different events. Yes, and the big guns are the national events and some regional events. Yes, where like they last for 10 days or 7 days, and yeah,
this. But you have to stay on top of your game, or else you can lose sponsorship. I mean, right?
At the end of the day, you need results. So definitely. There is a moment when they want to learn, but everyone is looking for a result. And results solve everything, right? When you win or you are there in the top 10, you know you succeeded, right?
But I couldn't complete this interview unless I asked you about the cheating scandals that have been happening. I mean, since about 2016, it's come out that there a lot of top players were cheating. And I wondered, how did that affect you and your career and your game and the sport in general?
I mean, it's very hurtful. Even now, it's like the cheating is going on like very bad on the internet, because it's easy to cheat on internet, online. I mean, it's a bad thing, right? Cheating, it's a bad thing. But the problem is, I know how much I struggle with myself. I make a lot of mistakes. A lot of, like, people think, oh my God, he plays for 30 years. He must play. No, we because it's easy to make mistake when you face every day with 20 decisions, right? Sometimes you just take the wrong decision. Your plan is wrong. Your strategy is bad, right? And it happens. And we're human beings. It's normal to happen. When you are not making these mistakes, you are going to crash. I mean, like, I'm telling you, if my partner and I would make some agreements, like some way of cheating, I think I would be unbeatable. Like every top player would be unbeatable. Your brother would be unbeatable if you would cheat. Like, it's so easy, and it's so easy to cheat because it's very hard to get caught.
Yeah.
Somebody should figure out the way. It's incredibly
hard.
Well,
I've seen live examples of cheating where a player will signal his partner by turning a card vertical or
correct.
But how that do you do it on?
Yes,
how do you do it online?
The first, number one and number two ranked in the world, they were cheating this way, with putting the card vertically or horizontally according to their strain, and yeah, whatever.
How do you cheat online, though? How do you cheat online? What are some of the strategies?
I don't know. You have a chat. It's easy. It's just easy. Or I don't know, even cameras. I don't know, and it's very easy. But I don't understand why you do, because I mean, I understand it's money, and when is money involved, yeah, dirty mind, it's also there, but at the end of the day, it's I prefer to sleep well. When I go to sleep, I know I'm clean, and that's the most important. And also your reputation, because once people start talking about you, and that's already bad. Okay, if you get caught, you are done. Your career, British career, is, and I love British so much that I wouldn't jeopardize 1 second of my pleasure, which I found in bridge, with like a cheating thing. So
do you miss having more of the live? Was there something about being live?
They started little by little here in the United States. I went to 2 big tournaments in Las Vegas and Austin, and I'm going to South Carolina in 2 weeks. But I do miss, I miss people. I miss my friends. I assume everyone wants the life back, right? So,
yeah. Well, Radu, I'm calling you your partner's name, Max.
It's fine. It's fine.
I'm sorry, Max.
No, it's fine.
Max. Oh my gosh, all these Romanian names, they're so exciting for me. It's so like traveling while I'm sitting. Max, you said you love America, you love American culture. I'd love to hear what it is you love, and do you bring something of that spirit to the way you play bridge?
I am, so I came here for the first time in 2010, and it was true bridge, that's right. But I noticed that the American people are very friendly, which you don't find it so easy in Europe. And you live in the Netherlands for a while, right? So you know how people are there. Like, they're cold, they're here, everyone is happy, everyone is like welcoming you. It's like, and asking about yourself and telling their story, things that I like, okay? I mean, Eastern Europe is not so far from this point of view, but here it's, I don't know, I found something which is like me. Like I'm like a fish in the water here. So yeah. I don't know, I like the music. I like almost everything.
You know, it's
except politics and health insurance, yeah, and that. But otherwise, everything is good for
me. I mean, Europeans don't trust our friendliness. They think we're faking. We're artificial. And I think it's a more cynical culture, and maybe it's that lack of cynicism that you...
You know something, it's something that I like. It's because I like to see smiles. I remember when I used to go in Romania to a post office, it's like, I need to get something, like a box or whatever. And like the people who were working there were like, yeah, what do you want? Like, no, I want people to welcome me. Well, like here, when I go to the post office, they're smiling and like, good morning, how are you today? That's the way I want to live, right?
I've got to find your post office, because that's not the way. Tell me, Max, so you basically are so happy with what you're doing. You don't have any new dreams with your bridge playing for the future?
I mean, my new dream is to get better.
Yeah.
Because it's always room for improving here. That's the good part. You'll never be a perfect bridge player. You are always gonna get better and better. And I like it. That's what I'm looking for. New challenge,
All right. Well, we'll be watching for you. And it's so, thank you for letting us into this very rarefied world that most of us don't even know exists. And it's fascinating to me.
Thanks a lot. I'm gonna tell you one thing, and it is the last one. Warren Buffett said at one point, you know, he's a British player. He said, I wouldn't mind going to jail if I'll have 3 cellmates who are decent bridge players. So Here it is.
Yeah. I can't think of a better line to I can't think of a better line to close on. So I wish you all the best and thank you for sharing.
Thanks, Lisa, for inviting me. And
okay. Bye. Bye, bye.
Thank you for listening to The Brand Called You videocast and podcast, a platform that brings you knowledge, experience, and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website, www.tbcy.in, to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search for The Brand Called You.